I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. We have made it to the final hour. A very busy college football weekend upon us, and we are really honored and delighted to say hello to Dr. Mark Keenum, who's been the president of Mississippi State for 13 years, but in this particular conversation, we're talking to him as the chairman of the College Football Playoff Board of Managers. It's a group of university CEOs who manage the CFP, and many, many people in the world of intercollegiate athletics are giving Dr. Keenum a lot of credit that he probably won't acknowledge here, but we'll ask him anyway for making, for pushing the CFP group back to enact what happened last Friday, putting the expansion of the playoff back on the table. And we had the conversation earlier today about what the commissioners discussed. Dr. Keenum, thank you very, very much. It's so great to first of all say hello to you and hope to see you later in the year in Starkville. How are you?
I'm doing great, Paul, and we look forward to welcoming you with SEC Nation to Starkville for one of our game days. And I'm very honored to be on your program this afternoon. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I feel like I know you well enough to know that you probably will not accept the praise that you're getting from many, many people, including a few of your colleagues. But I do want to ask you about how we got back to this point and what did you and your colleagues feel the need to push it back, because the world of college football certainly needed it.
Well, you know, we've got a great board of managers, outstanding university presidents and chancellors who are passionate about their universities, their conferences, and for college football. And this is something that we've been working as a board on for more than 3 years now. I would say almost 4 years. And, of course, COVID derailed a lot of the work that we were doing and our focus. We were just trying to survive and maintain a college football season in 2020 and then deal with the aftermath in 21. And so we were able to work with our management committee, which are the commissioners of our leagues and the athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, with Notre Dame, and try to get focused on getting an expansion of college football. We worked with Bill Hancock, who was the executive director of the College Football Playoff staff, and we recognized that we had a window that was closing. And if we were going to expand college football before the 2026 football season, we had, a very narrow window here, and we needed to act, and we needed to act right now to give our commissioners, to give Bill and his team an opportunity to possibly start this in 2024. If we waited much longer than this, Paul, that window would close. We would definitely lose the opportunity for starting the expansion in 2024, and is still in doubt in 2025. But we felt like, as a board, that we needed to give our commissioners an opportunity, and they may not be able to do it because of the logistics that we're going to be facing to get a playoff started this soon. But we knew if we didn't go ahead and act now, that possibility would be gone. And so I think that's what brought the presidents who were members of the Board of Managers together. And I'm so proud of everything that they did and the support that we had to move this forward. And it's going to be, I told my colleagues, this is a historic occasion. And that was a historic day for college football in establishing a broader opportunity for college football programs, universities, teams, athletics, student athletes, to be able to participate in our nation's college football championship tournament. And that's what we've basically created. We've created a tournament for college football. And I'm I'm just proud. I'm so excited and proud that we were able to accomplish this and give the direction that our commissioners needed to finally make a decision to go on record and say, this is where we're going, and empower our commissioners now to work out the details and give them the direction that they needed. So, again, I'm very proud of my colleagues and what we were able to accomplish.
And as everyone knows, we were in Indianapolis in January, as you were, and the whole thing got shut down. And I want to quote something from an article by an esteemed sports writer, Rick Cleveland, in Mississippi. He interviewed not only Gerald Turner, the former Ole Miss chancellor, but now SMU president, but also Jack Hawkins, the very distinguished chancellor at Troy. Hawkins said that Mark's skillful leadership was the key ingredient, and Dr. Turner called your leadership masterful. I'm not asking you to comment on that, but I am interested, though, because so many young people are watching, and I know this is, as a president, you're able to get into classrooms occasionally, but leadership is very underrated. How would you describe the training that you've had, the application both in Washington and on college campuses, to be able to do what you have been able to do here, which is quite extraordinary?
Well, it's just, it's always treat everyone with respect. And that's what, that's how I was raised by my parents. And when I talk to young people, it's one of our core values here at Mississippi State. And that's having respect for others, integrity, and being willing to work hard for whatever you set out to achieve in life. And so I think just having utmost respect and I'm very humbled to be in the room with these distinguished leaders from all across the country. These are very learned, very distinguished leaders. And for me to be affiliated with this group is a tremendous honor for me personally. And I have the utmost respect for my colleagues on the management committee, on the board of managers. And so I think first and foremost is just respect where they're coming from and recognize that we have differences. You know, you have leaders from that are representing 10 conferences, and then we have Father Jenkins with Notre Dame. And we all have our own interests. I have 13 other presidents and chancellors that I'm accountable to, and I represent them in our conference, the Southeastern Conference. And they do likewise with all the other presidents and chancellors all across the country. And this group of 11 individuals, we represent a lot of different people, a lot of universities, and a lot of interests. And so I understand that. And I understand we have had differences, and we've had to work through these. But we had an opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, that, yeah, we've got differences, but this is the time to act. And as I told my colleagues, I said, if the Southeastern Conference was designing this 12-team format, it probably wouldn't look exactly like it looks, okay? And there are a few things that we would probably change, but we're willing to accept it in the interest of compromise. And let's move forward, because the college football fans all across the country are looking to us as a board to provide the leadership, the direction for the future of college football. And it's time for us to move forward, and this is the day to do it. And I basically, you know, we're going to vote one way or the other. We're gonna send the signal. And my colleagues came around, and we worked well together. And like I said, I have the utmost respect, and we got it done. And that's the most important thing, is we got it done and gave the direction to the commissioners, to the management committee, again, that they need. And I'm confident that we can move this forward, and I'm hopeful. That we can start this before the 2026 football season.
Dr. Keenum, I know as the chairman of this, you have allegiances, obviously, to your school and to your conference, but you try to work, as you said. But I am curious about your thoughts on some of the criticism, and it was sharp criticism that Commissioner Greg Sankey received. It was almost as if some blamed him and decided to stop the forward progress on what most people assumed a year ago was going to happen, based on something that, you know, he took a phone call from two schools in the Big 12 and then went to the presidents and made this happen. I am interested in your thoughts on, I know it's spilled milk now, and gladly we're all moving forward, but it did seem unfair to some that he was the brunt of most of that criticism.
Well, you got to keep in mind, and we're excited to be welcoming University of Texas and University of Oklahoma. Thrilled to welcome them to the Southeastern Conference, and can't wait to get them affiliated with us. But you got to keep in mind, you know, you're talking about last summer when this was announced. There was a lot happening in college football, and especially among conferences, major conferences. We had changes in leadership, and we had some new commissioners that had not been on board very long, and I think they needed some time to spend time with their presidents and chancellors, with their athletics directors and coaches, and have the kind of conversations that we had been having, with Greg Sankey and my colleagues in the Southeastern Conference, that these new commissioners needed to do. And they had a lot of questions, and we had a lot of issues we had to work through, and a lot of discussions. But I'm really proud that the working group, there was a subcommittee of the management committee of the commissioners, and Greg Sankey was one of the members of that working group who really created the format that we have now. And so he stepped up and provided really strong leadership to get the format on the table for discussion. And then people needed opportunities within their conferences to discuss it. And we recognized that this wasn't going to be something that could be presented and then we would adopt it the next week. It needed time to and presidents and athletics directors and coaches all across the country, again, as I said, in our conferences, took this last year, if you will, having the kind of conversations that they needed to determine, is this the direction that we want to go in? And so it all culminated with the meeting we had just last week when we were ready to vote. And so a lot had to go into this, Paul. So I just think these commissioners were doing their due diligence and doing their job to make sure that when we finally make the decision that this was the right decision, it's the right course to go for college football. It's a big decision.
Aside from that, and there's so many cynics and critics, as you know, and we all know, and I'll include myself in that category at times, about what is happening right now and the money that we are seeing not only in the SEC arrangements, but the recent Big Ten multimedia deal. As a college president and someone who's very involved, as we've explained, and you've answered, how do you balance all of this? Because you at the heart of it, you're in the education business, but you're also managing billions of dollars in because of intercollegiate athletics.
Well, you know, I mentioned this earlier in another interview that someone asked me about the revenues, and we're not naive to the added value of what we're doing here. I mean, you're talking about going from 3 postseason playoff games to 11 postseason playoff games, and that's going to create a lot of value, no doubt. But when this whole process started, Paul, more than 3-plus years ago, That wasn't the driving factor for us in making decisions or having the discussion to start the dialogue on expanding college football, the playoff. And it was more giving more schools an opportunity to compete for our nation's national championship, giving our more student athletes an opportunity to compete. And just having 4 teams, there's 131 teams in the college football bowl subdivision, 131. And yet, under our current format, only 4 teams get to participate in our national tournament. We felt like that we need to come up with a format that would allow more schools, more student athletes an opportunity, again, to compete for our nation's national championship. And we also recognize that from a fan standpoint, it creates a lot of excitement, especially as you get into towards the latter part of a regular season. A lot of our regular season games almost become playoff games because it will impact the rankings for the eligibility to be in the playoff. It will be an exciting regular season, and for our fans, it will be electric. Yeah, it'll generate more revenues, and I'll just tell you that's college football supports all collegiate athletics. college football revenues support our softball and volleyball team and so forth and so on. That's the revenue generator for pretty much all college athletics. So it's not just revenues that come in to support football. College football subsidizes and supports athletic programs all across the country, and student athletes that are competing in all the other sports in college athletics benefit from the from college football's success and its revenues that it's able to generate. So it's something that we're conscious of, no doubt, but like I said earlier, it was not the driving factor that started all of this. I can, in all seriousness, that was not the reason why we got into this. But there are benefits that come along with it, and more revenues that support all of college athletics will be part of this.
Well, congratulations again, and I we all hope what you shared the other day in terms of pushing this thing as soon as possible, because I'm just listening to you talk, getting excited, as I know everybody watching and listening is as well, to the idea that this thing is about to change in the most dramatic way possible. Dr. Keenum, thank you for coming on and sharing your message and your conversation, and we look very much forward to seeing you again very soon.
Thank you, Paul. Like I said, look forward to seeing you in Starkville.
Can't wait. I look forward to it, as always. Thank you, Dr. Keenum. What a pleasure. And what an extraordinary story about how one person really made this happen. And he is not going to admit it, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I've talked to enough people who are in the know. And he would not let it go. And he let a lot of the grievances go by the wayside, which a lot of people would have had a difficult time doing. And instead of all of us belly aching about what was a lost opportunity, we have a shot now at seeing it happen fairly soon. Thank you again to Dr. Keenum from Mississippi State. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Appreciate all of you being here. Augie is up next in New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul, that was a good interview with the president.
Thank you. No, I thought he was great.
Yeah, I was going to say, you seem very impressed.
Well, I know him pretty well. I've been around him and interviewed him a couple of times in other situations. And he's one of the smarter college presidents in terms of being able to relate to people. I know there are plenty of – they're always smart, but that doesn't mean they have common sense. He does.
Exactly. My esteem level for Mississippi State went up 100% based on that interview, because all I see is Mike Leach, and I know you love him, but my God, that guy, oh, He looks like he just walked out of a bar at 3 a.m. in a French Quarter. The way he looks, the way he talks, disheveled and just rambling all over. But that's just the guy, and that's why people love him, or I guess hate him. But
by the way, one more thing about Dr. Keene, I didn't mention it. He's he was a former football player, but he also he spent a lot of time in Washington. He worked for I think Senator Cochran. He was also an undersecretary in, I believe, the I think it was a George W. He was an undersecretary of I think agriculture in George W. Bush's White House.
Well, at least there was somebody with some sense in Bush's White House, because well, you know they had. Yeah.
Hey, listen, he was not in charge of the WMDs. Okay, he was on the agricultural Department of Agriculture.
All right, he wasn't.
I believe that Dr. Keenum's wife. Worked in the White House, but I think she was involved in protocol or something. She was not. Let me direct you to Dick Cheney's office, okay?
I tell you, don't laugh about protocol. That's probably the most high-stress job in the White House, other than being a military attaché, keeping track of all these things we never hear about that go on in the world every day that'll make your hair turn white. But
I remember I had the opportunity one night to as the SEC network was launching, I ended up sitting next to Dr. Keenum at a dinner where it was one of these dog and pony shows where we were told just to keep our mouth shut. We started talking about Washington and what he did, being a cabinet undersecretary in the cabinet and his wife. It was really fascinating. Then again, that's one of my hobbies, talking about things that have nothing to do with what I do for a living.
Well, you know, let's face it, Paul. In the world of news, sports is the candy aisle. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
The meat and potatoes are the things that happen. Foreign policy, of course, defense. I'm sure economics is a big thing. But, Paul, your interview with Jim today, that was an interview.
Oh, that was...
Fire. It was nuclear weapon material. It was great. I'm with Jeff. That was an interesting section. And whatever you think about Jim, love him, hate him, neutral on him, he brings the fire, and you know it. And he delivered today. So you need to cut him a check.
If we had any money left, we'd give it to Jim, but Randy gets all the leftover money, the excess money.
I don't think I ever saw Randy before. I saw the other guy because he came out once. I think you helped him out as a wrestler.
Yeah, that's Keith. Randy's fairly well known. Randy made his Feinbaum show debut today during the Jim call, because Jim was criticizing. Jim was coming after Randy.
Yeah, and that's why people love Jim. He just goes all over the place, and that's why people hate Jim. But you know what they say? If they're not talking about you, you're irrelevant. And I throw props out to my buddy Matt. I know people don't like Matt, I like Matt. I think he's great for the show. So that was pretty good. But did you see Dabo Swinney got a bump today, Paul?
Yeah, I mean Dabo. You know, I give all these guys credit. They just continue to. I thought, but do you remember 2 years ago, Augie, when COVID was going to ruin sports?
Well, it did for some people, didn't it? It made the 10 or 12.
It did, but it's extraordinary what these. I mean, and by the way, these coaches deserve it. They work so hard, and they're away from their families. And I mean, I just don't know how they survive on $10 to $12 million
I know
a year.
You're being third ring guy now.
It's tough.
These guys aren't like long-range deployed Navy SEALs.
$7 million was not going to cut it. So now they're up to 10 and 12, 11, 13 million.
He's getting 10.5 now, up potentially to 12.5 and through 2029. So Dabo's going to be around Clemson to 2029. But Paul, during I think the conversation maybe with Jim or somebody else, did you say Brando has no class?
I really, whatever I said previously, I'll just stand by.
Okay. And I got to say that the conversation with Handsome Joe, I'm not going to say anything about Handsome Joe other than reference his conversation. It brought up memories of Rex Ryan. You know what I'm talking about?
I do remember Rex.
Anyway, Paul, is tomorrow going to be another guest fest? Are we going to have Tebow?
I don't think
Harper,
tomorrow.
Rogers,
Tebow
suspects?
Will not be there, so I don't know if he's going to. I really have not. I quit looking at the Friday guest list until I land wherever I'm going.
You need to pull some surprises on us on Friday.
So who would you like to hear tomorrow? We'll be in Nashville.
Ooh.
Dolly Parton,
you know,
maybe?
Boy, if you could get Dolly, that would be a coup of all coups. What do you think? I mean, I think that would be a big deal, right?
I've always wanted to meet Dolly.
Yeah. Oh, man, if you could get Dolly, I'm
never
sure
met
your
Dolly.
Viewership would go up.
I mean, she...
You would spread your name further than it is now because,
yeah,
you know, you're,
yeah,
localized to the sports world. You'll now, yeah, jump into the ETV section if you get Dolly on.
Yeah, I'll be on Extra.
And one other thing, did you ever listen to the Pat McAfee deal with Lou Holtz, the Lou Holtz imitation?
I still haven't been able to hear that, no.
You got to listen to it. I highly recommend it. Anyway, have a good Saturday, Paul. See you Monday.
Thank you, Augie. Augie giving me recommendations now. We are heading to another break. Didn't we just have one? We have another one. We went a little bit long with our interview with Dr. Keenum, but why not? He was so interesting. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and Jimmy is up next. Hey, Jimmy, go right ahead.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
First of all, thank you so much for the journalistic and commentary excellence you bring to us every day.
Thank you.
And I want to go back a few years. I hope I'm right about this. I'm going to feel like an idiot if I'm not, but I want to thank you for an interview that you did with Coach Stallings and Coach Dye several years ago.
Yeah, no, you remember correctly. I'll never forget that. They both came up one night to our show, and you talk about memorable. That night was classic.
Man, I was working as a technician for Thompson Tractor Company then, and I was over in the Florence area, and I had to pull off the road to listen. I mean, I wanted to make sure I didn't miss a thing. They shared so many memories and commentaries about their careers.
No, it was great. It was fantastic.
It was memorable, and I will never forget it. I've been trying for about 3 years to get on to tell you
that is funny.
How much I appreciated that.
By the way, how did you work for Thompson long, or was that?
I worked for them for 32 years.
Did you really? Wow.
Yes.
Paul Thompson sold me my house in Birmingham.
Really?
He built a house, well, and you talk about a tough negotiator. That was an experience.
Hey, those guys, they know how to get a deal done. I'm telling you now, that's Paul and Mike and Judy and now Lucy.
Jimmy, my wife is a physician. I don't know if you and she was Lucy at one time Hall's doctor as well. But she was Lucy's doctor, and they became very close friends. And we were in Birmingham in May, and went out to see
Lucy Thompson, and she was doing great. I mean, she reminds me a little bit of Queen Elizabeth. I mean, they have all the same mannerisms, very stately and royal, and we had a great time that afternoon. And
well, they're just a wonderful family. I'm honored and proud to have worked for them for as long as I did, and I don't know if you know now, but Lucy's the president of the company now.
Yeah, I did know. I did know that, and my wife knows Lucy. I don't know her the young Lucy. I don't know her that well, but she's. Yeah, he was so proud of her too. I mean, I got to know Hall very well, and just a remarkable person. I saw Mike not that long ago. I saw Mike in Birmingham too. So yeah, I've kept up with the family very well.
Yeah, they're wonderful people. And one other thing, I know you got other callers. One other thing I want to tell you is the next time you see or talk to Ryan McGee, I would like for him to know how much I enjoyed his article on ESPN about Coach Johnny Majors.
Okay, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I'll see Ryan tomorrow.
Always my coach, and that was I'm a sports fan. I mean, I love Alabama. I'm an Alabama fan for I'm going into my 62nd year now, I guess, something like 61 is my first memory of them. And but I'm a sports fan and an SEC fan above everything.
Well, you know, Jimmy, they're honoring Coach Majors this weekend in Pittsburgh for the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game. And for those
well,
who don't,
that'll be great. That'll be great.
Coach Majors won a national championship at Pittsburgh.
Exactly. Yeah, and I really enjoyed Ryan's article. That was a
yeah,
very
it was a great. I'll tell him
article.
That. I will see him tomorrow. Well, thank you very much for the call. I'll tell you a quick story about Johnny Majors. He was my first year as a school newspaper. Maybe I shouldn't tell it. Should I tell it? He came in from Pittsburgh. He won the national championship there. It was a big deal. Tennessee getting one of the, I would say Johnny arguably with, you could argue back and forth between Peyton Manning and John Majors, but he was one of the greatest, I think he may have been the greatest player in Tennessee history. And I was part of some group, I think it was a bunch of journalists, and they wanted Coach Majors to be the guest speaker. And I just casually asked him one day, and he said, oh, sure, I'll go. I'll do it. Like 7 o'clock at some rundown hotel on the Strip. So I met him outside, and it was a big deal. I mean, he hadn't even coached a game yet. So he goes, how long we got? I mean, he has this gravelly voice. Mm-hmm. I said, we got a couple of minutes. He said, let me get a drink. I said, sure, Coach. He said, he like whipped out a couple hundred, like hundreds of dollars. He gave me $100 bill. He said, go get me a vodka and grapefruit juice. I said, me? I was trying to think whether I was even, I don't even know what the age was. I'm not even sure. It may have been 21. I can't remember. I wasn't even sure I was old enough at that point but I walked up to, he said, get yourself one too. I said, okay, that's fine. I'll be more than happy to do that. So, one of my first encounters with John Majors was him buying a drink for a college student and himself to go speak to a group of college journalists, and he probably didn't drink enough to talk to that group. Let's talk to Mike in Houston. Hello, Mike. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, good to talk with you. I'm an Auburn grad and played on the 1970 to 73 football team.
Oh, man, you saw some great ball then.
Yeah, I remember Punt Bama Punt, of course, and also the Sullivan and Beasley years. It was an exciting time, almost as exciting as the streaking that was going on campus at the time.
Oh, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, about 7 years ago, I retired. I live in Houston, and I started listening to your show and watching your show, and this is the first time I've ever gotten on. So I really, truly, I feel lucky to have gotten through finally. After a long time of trying, I wanted to talk a minute about the Brian Kelly decision to go for one in that football game. And I wanted to ask you, first of all, I saw in passing a press conference he was in a while back did he actually stand up for 30, 40, 50 minutes, however long it went, and speak with a fake Southern accent? Did that really happen?
No, he there's still debate about what happened there. I think that was really blown out of proportion.
Okay. Well, it struck me as an insult. I don't know how anyone could take it any other way, but in a room full of people with Southerners and are people that work in the South and know what a real Southern accent sounds like, or the various Southern accents, I can't imagine him doing that. But I think he's got a good history as a coach, a real good history as a coach, and I wish him luck at LSU. I wanted to remind you, though, and I want you to elaborate on your position on that going for one instead of going for two. I'm sure you know the stats. It's about 40% success rate on going for two and a 95%+ success rate going for one. And, of course, he did have the momentum, but that momentum would have carried forward into an overtime period, just like it might have manifested itself in that one-point conversion attempt that he went for. So, and I know that there's a convention I've heard over the years that in a game like that, if you score late, if you're very late, if you're the visiting team, maybe go for it. You know, the visiting team maybe has more incentive and more chance to make it. But if you're the home team, typically the convention that I remember is don't go for it, just go into overtime.
Yeah, we have to go to a break because we're short on time, but thank you very much for the call. We'll figure out which part of that to digest when we come back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
Running out of time here, but Brian is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I called in really because my son is Brylan. He calls in all the time.
Oh, sure, of course.
And yeah, and I'm sure you figured this out. He's every bit as big a Paul Feinbaum fan as he is a Tennessee fan. So I wanted to call in and wish him a happy 15th birthday. We're really proud of him and his brother, and he's a good kid.
Well, Brylan, I don't know where you are right now, but from all of us here on the show, happy 15th birthday. That is a great birthday because it means that 16 is next.
And that's right, Paul.
And that can only cause nightmares for his parents.
Yep, absolutely. We think he's a pretty good kid. We don't think that'll be the case, but who knows? Who knows what the future holds? And by the way, Paul, I want to leave you with this. I know you bleed red, but I also know you're a Tennessee fan at heart.
Well, let me say this, Brian. I bleed orange, but that's okay. I'm a Tennessee fan through and through. That's where I grew up. That's where I graduated, and that never changes.
Yep. Well, thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much, Brian, and happy birthday again to Brylan. How about that? Imagine being 15 again, knowing what you know now.
Oh, my
See, that's the most frustrating part. That when I, and I don't know about you, when I was 15, 16, I mean, this could go for much longer than 15 or 16. I was just so stupid. I had no earthly idea what was going on around me. Cheerleader, when you were 15, what did you know?
Well, I knew how to cheerlead, I'll tell you that.
I bet you did.
And I knew how to cheerlead. And
so
and I knew how to get a boyfriend.
So you were, where were you a cheerleader?
I was a cheerleader at Bluntstown High School in Bluntstown, Florida.
Man, I bet, well, I better and be careful here what I say.
We were the Tigers, and let me tell you, we would win some state football games, and we had people that went to colleges to play. So,
cheerleader, I mean this with the utmost respect, because I've met you before, and you're a wonderfully beautiful woman, but when you were in that cheerleading outfit, can you describe what it looked like?
Well, back then, well, our cheerleading outfits were really, really good looking. We had white, a very nice wool, stitched around the top.
Why am I laughing at that? I have no, forget I was laughing. I was not laughing.
A thin wool, merino wool or something. But it had stitches down it, and it's called something. It was a little short skirt, and we had a white sweater with the big B on it, and
I
had
bet.
Your name down
big
into the
sweater.
Megaphone. You know, real
one,
cheerleader outfit.
Cheerleader, one B or two Bs?
One.
Okay.
A B, Bluntstown.
Bluntstown.
And it's between Tallahassee and Panama City.
Cheerleader, by any chance, do you still have any pictures of you as a cheerleader?
I probably do.
Why don't you send them to the show and we'll share them? That would be, I think everyone wants to see
it. It shows your legs a little bit.
Okay. I was just, not that I'm,
you
know, pining to see what you look like at 16, although I think I am.
I know you're not. But, and let me tell you, I had the best hairdos of anybody.
Now, what?
That was real important.
So did you, let me ask you the proverbial question, did you date the quarterback, as every cheerleader does?
I did not.
Thank goodness.
I did not date him. No,
now,
I dated
what I want to know is how
guys.
Come none of the cheerleaders ever dated the goofy-looking sports writers back then? They always dated the quarterback.
You know what? I would have dated you.
Well, I don't mind saying.
I would have dated you.
I mean, I can't. A cheerleader, when I was 16 years old, you may have seen pictures. I was drop dead gorgeous.
You're pretty cool. Yeah. You had you some hair, and you were pretty cool.
My wife has told me repeatedly she would not have given me the time of day, but she probably would have got tired of waiting online had she considered giving me the time of day. We're out of time, thank goodness, before I get a divorce. We'll be back tomorrow live in Nashville.